I was over here having a moment a couple times because last Sunday was a very emotional Sunday for all of us, whether you were at Church in the Mall or Engage Newark or Christian Endeavor, because what we knew as church for the last 6 to 10 to 12 to 20 years, however long, has changed. Will never be quite the same of what it was up to last Sunday. And so last Sunday was super emotional, and then I found myself getting emotional again today, because this is the thing we've been preparing for and waiting for quite some time. And now here we are. And then Carrie sang, and you all sang this line, and all I did was praise. And then I thought, man, I worked really, really hard. That's not all I did. And I want to take a couple seconds to honor a few people. There's Cliff Smith's up in the booth up there. That man took the whole week off of work so he could prepare for your all's arrival today. Can we just thank Cliff? Yeah, thank you, Cliff. Kevin's back there. Kevin worked really, really hard this week and then took 3 days vacation, but that's okay. We're not holding that against him. Dirk McFarland's back there. He worked real hard every single day this week. Where's Barrett? Barrett, he's working hard this week. Mariah might be upstairs. Where's Mariah at? Mariah's around. There she is. She's back there. She's working her tail off. I know I'm forgetting a lot of people have swung through here and Church in the Mall and Engage Newark last week. Y'all did an amazing amount of work to see to it that we could worship in here today in a beautiful space. And the children's ministry, oh my gosh, you really do need to go up there and just see it. It's amazing. It's so beautiful up there. I hope the kids are having a great time. But it does take work. It's not just a matter of all I did was praise and this happened, because God works through us to make things happen. And God's been working through each of us over the last years. But let's go back to 3 months ago when we realized, oh, this is happening, because at the beginning of the year, none of us thought about this happening. In January, when we started the year off with whatever sermon series y'all were doing, and I know what we were doing, but I don't know what you were doing, it was like, I didn't know 6 months later that we were going to be having this happen, that we would be here now. It took a lot of work to get here, even though we recognize that the Spirit has a lot to do with that. The Holy Spirit does work. The Holy Spirit actually worked at the bishop's office for a change to get us here. Did I say the for change part? I didn't mean to add that part. But what's happening is we're seeing ourselves, three distinct groups, come together and align ourselves to become one. And I think that takes a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a case in which human heartbeats can align together and become one heartbeat together because they are listening to the same narrative. Now, I found this research super interesting. You might find it boring. I'm going to tell it to you anyway. So researchers had done this test that over and over, they did tests with different, different variables to the test. And what they found consistently was that two humans who are listening to the same narrative, their heartbeats can align. So here's what they did. They took 1 minute snippets of the book 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and they let them listen to that, and eventually their heartbeats would align. Two humans, their heartbeats would align. Now, here's the key to some of those things. I don't know why they didn't use Goodnight Moon, you know, I don't know why they didn't choose the Bible. I don't know why they chose that particular one, but they found these specific things that happened across the board. Human heartbeats aligned. Two different human beings who were hearing the same thing, but having a different, because of their different life experiences, they would have a different filter through which they heard those things. But this was important. Their heartbeats would align most often when there was a sudden surprise in the story, like a big bang or a snap, some big surprise, and the heartbeat would automatically line them up. So a big surprise would align their heartbeats together. Here's another thing that was very important in it. They could not get distracted. All right. They had to actually listen to the story, right? You couldn't like take your attention away for a minute and hope that your heartbeat would line up with the other person. They had to have undistracted time. And that means they had to be attentive. They had to actually be listening to the story so that they could hear the fullness. It was only a minute, right? They could hear the fullness of it for the entire time. Once they got their attention turned away, the heartbeats would then misalign. Now, here we are, three different congregations, three different churches over the last 3 months, now having heard the same scripture passages throughout. We were all on the same pattern of scriptures. Now, they were a little bit different stories. The sermons were all a little bit different. Kevin did his here one way. Mariah did, you're also at church in the mall another way. I did them another way. And Reggie, he preached one side. Like, we all did it a little bit differently, but it was the same scripture narrative that we were all hearing all at the same time. We were hearing the same narrative. And then we all had, actually, before that, we all had the same big surprise, right? Surprise! Church in the Mall's rent's going up 130%. Surprise! Engage Newark, it's changing as well. Surprise! Christian Endeavor, a whole bunch of people gonna land on you. That's a surprise. And that was the initial moment where our heartbeats could start to beat together at the same rhythm, at the same pace, to come together as one heartbeat. And then we started hearing the same narrative, the same scriptures. And here we are now, three-ish months later, having been guided by the Holy Spirit, and our heartbeats are starting to beat as one. I don't think we're quite there yet. I think is a really good start. I feel like I'm changing my voice all over the place here. I don't know what's happening back there. Another thing that was interesting about the study was breath had nothing to do with the heartbeats aligning. So they could breathe at the same pace and their heartbeats wouldn't align. It didn't matter how they breathed, their heartbeats would beat the same so long as they paid attention, they were not distracted, and they had a catalyst to move their heartbeats together along the same narrative. So we might not breathe the same. Our three churches have unique ways of expressing the ministry that we have. We have three unique ways of expressing the Spirit. The scripture I'm going to read in a moment, we'll talk about the Spirit manifests in you, how the Spirit, we all manifest the Spirit differently. We all have unique giftings and abilities, but our hearts can beat as one. Our scripture speaks to it this morning. We've got different ways of approaching ministry, different ways of expressing of ourselves, but it says it's to the common good, that we would all do this for the common good of each other and the common good of those who are not yet part of our community and who live in the houses and the neighborhoods around us. We can be for the common good of the city of Newark. Let's read the scripture. It comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There's different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. And another, prophecy. And another, distinguishing between spirits. And another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one in the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. When I was in college, I worked for an excavating company. We did a lot of dirt work and we put pipe in the ground. And our thing was like this, like the early 2000s, late 90s, 2000s, when we do a lot of building of neighborhoods and things like that. And my crew did the thing where, you know how all of these neighborhoods and commerce parks are named after the thing that used to be there? Like, Log Pond, there's no log, there's no pond, all right? But it's Log Pond for some reason. We have a neighborhood up by our house, Glen Eagles. There's no eagle and there's no glad. I don't know why they call it that, but that's maybe there was an eagle there one day and they're like, it's a glen eagle and I'm Scottish or something. I don't know. Well, anyway, I was on the crew that took away the thing that it was named after. And we put pipe in the ground, like all the sanitary pipe that makes it nice and clean so you can go to the bathroom and stuff, and then all the water lines that gives you nice clean drinking water, and then all the storm sewers that carries the water away from the houses and all that stuff. I did all that. And primarily one of the places that we worked most at was up in Johnstown, this place called Leafy Dell, which is also weird because there's no leaves and there's no dell. I don't even know what a dell is, but it's not there anymore. Instead, there's houses, a school, and a library, which are wonderful things. Those are great. But we put all those things in there. So my crew is the pipe crew. And there were six of us, and we all had a job. There was the foreman who oversaw everything, right? The foreman has a job, and he's like making sure everybody lines up and does the right things. And then there's the excavator operator. Like, he's just digging the big giant ditch, you know? And then there's the pipe layer himself. He's down in the hole, and he's got an assistant usually is down there. And then I was the top man. I was just the gopher guy, you know, like, hey, go get us whatever. And I should tell you, everybody had nicknames. And I can't tell you most of them. But mine was Pockets, because I like that. See, I put my hand in my pocket all the time. And the first 3 weeks I was there, it was really cold out. So I had both. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. So they called me Pockets for whatever reason. Anyway, you now call me Pockets. My name is actually Dave. I didn't introduce myself. So we each had a job, and the last guy, he was the backfiller, he was an operator, and most of the time we did not work well together. Like, everybody's just kind of doing their own thing. And sometimes people were distracted. They were talking about what happened with their wife or girlfriend the night before. Some of them come in drunk sometimes. Most of the time we're just not paying attention. Me, the top man, they would be like, hey, Pockets, we need one. Because the pipe is 46 and a half inches, and I'd cut him like 45 and a half instead of 46 and a half, and like, it's still too short, you know, like, come on, Pockets, get it together. You know, that kind of stuff that would happen because the crew is not working together. We're not working on all cylinders. We do not have one heartbeat. We're all just doing our own thing. One time the foreman called us all together, like, look, guys, we got to get this pipe in the ground. But you're not just putting pipe in the ground. You're building houses. You're building a community. You're putting together the things that are necessary for humans to come together and be a part of the fabric of life. He said none of those things. He said so many four-letter words, just get, you know, like, but that's what he meant. He wanted us to have one heartbeat towards one, build a community together. That's my challenge to us. What if we had one heartbeat to build a community together where everybody is listening to what the Spirit has to say to us in our lives, where everybody is following the instructions properly? They're not mismeasuring the cuts. They just do the best that they can to do what God's leading them to do, where we're not distracted by some other thing or some other person or some other drunkenness that we could get into that would control us more than we can control ourselves. We have diverse roles, each of us, but we must come to a common goal to unify our heartbeat. Look, we've seen disunity in churches before. If you've ever been in church for a very long time, any amount of time, it doesn't matter. You've seen disunity at work. You've seen struggle. Our own denomination is really just maybe on the tail end of disunity, where the United Methodist Church has had a schism. We didn't have the same heartbeat. We didn't have the same common goal. And so some have gone their separate ways and some have stayed. And so we're in this midst of that sort of thing. But even within local churches, it's amazing to me that there's so much strife that can happen within the local body of the church. And then let's go beyond that to the churches that are in our community, in our neighborhood. It's amazing to me also that churches will look down on other churches that are in our own town. They're just trying to do ministry, and we look down on them for being who they are and doing what they do. And they look down on us for being who we are and doing what we do, instead of thinking about, we all have the same common goal. We have the same Spirit. We have the same God. We just approach it a little bit differently. And we just have a different way of coming to the idea that we can have community together, that we can be an expression of the kingdom of God here in our midst now. Even with the same God at work with different kinds of gifts, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. So we end up fighting each other and we end up having disunity because our heartbeats don't align. But here's what he says in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working. But in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. It's the same God at work. It's the same God at work. We can find common ground in loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That Jesus kind of gave us that directive. Then it's the greatest commandment, the first commandment. Love God. The God that we love distributes to us differently the kinds of gifts that make up the fullness of the body of Christ. We're going to talk more about that specifically in the coming weeks. Loving God aligns together ourselves, our churches, our bodies to have the same goal, same mind, same heartbeat. The heartbeat that God might have for loving people. It's my sincere belief that if you love God, you can't help but love people. And the more you love God, the more you love people. We're created in the image of God. God who loves humanity. If you love God, you're going to love people. And so as we reveal our love for God with and to one another, we also will reveal our love for each other. Here's verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's for the common good. The unique roles that we have, the unique roles that our churches individually have played in the community, the individual nature of each person that's sitting in here, you have a unique gifting. It's not just for you. It's not just so that you could have a prominent position in the church. It's not just so you can have a microphone, and it's not just so that you can teach. It's for the common good. It's for everyone to benefit and be blessed by. Jesus says it this way: love others. Love others as you love yourself. You love the God who gave you the gift. Use it to love the people God gave you to love. It's fairly simple and really hard at the same time, because people are people and they can be really hard to love at times. Love God who gave you the gift and use that gift to love the people God gave you to love. That's our narrative. That's the thing we should be listening to as much as possible. That's the thing we should be attentive to. That's the story that unifies us. It's the common bond that we should be hearing. That is what will bring our hearts in alignment with each other so that we have one spirit, one heartbeat, beating together. Now, it doesn't mean that we'll breathe at the same pace, because we don't. I have a pretty high motor. Like, I can work. Like, I like to keep moving and pushing. I didn't know that Kevin likes that even more than me. And I have to keep up with Kevin, because he's got a higher motor than me. We don't all have the same pace. That's okay. Our breathing will be different, so long as the Spirit is the same. It doesn't mean our pace will be the same. Some of us will love each other in different ways. Like, some people are a little more background, you know, love that. That's great. But we can't all be charities. She is out there in all kinds of levels. She's out there. We don't all look the same. And that's wonderful. But here's what it does mean. It means we have to pay attention. We've got to be listening to what the Spirit is telling us. We can't get distracted. We can't lose ourselves to drunkenness or some other thing that will control us. We can't turn ourselves over to something or someone else. Here's verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Everybody's got a gift. We've been given a gift. Part of that gift is each other. This is a gift. That's part of the reason why I got so emotional over there, because last week was a hard week as we parted. This week is a wonderful week as we gather. And look at this gift that we have of each other. And this was time number 2 I preached this sermon. We had 30, 40 people here earlier. and they all heard the same message, because we're trying to get the same heartbeat together. This thing we're doing here in this space, in this community, it's not just meant for the people who are sitting in these pews and in this room and online right now. This is meant to go beyond ourselves. It's meant for our neighbors that are right down the hill and right across and right up the hill. Our narrative is one of the same Spirit coming together to guide us, to lead us into loving others. So allow the Holy Spirit to be your heartbeat, and we will beat as one, unifying our diverse heartbeats for the common good. One of the ways the heartbeats get in an initial alignment is by a big surprise. Ta-da! This is it. This is our big surprise. This is our big initial moment. This is the moment where the heartbeats can start to beat as one. This is day number one. Look around. This is day number one. We don't even know what we're doing on the stage yet. We don't even know how. No, we know what we're doing, but we're learning today. Tomorrow we'll debrief. We'll figure out how we can do things better, because this is day one, and look what's happened. Let's try for days two and three as our heartbeats begin to align together. Don't squander the opportunity that is right in front of us to align our hearts with the same Spirit, because this is it. This is the moment we've been working for. This is the time when we become one together. And it might not happen just today. It might not happen even in a month. But if you're listening, you're paying attention, not getting distracted, then in time, the same Spirit that called us into our gifting will become the bond that helps our congregations become one heartbeat. Over the next several weeks, I want to introduce to you some of our key staff and key team members. And today I want to invite Mariah to come up. And we're going to have to stand this time because they took the stools away. So we got to stand. So each time we're just have like a little interview of our pastors and our staff team, and so that you can get to know them. This is Mariah. She's the pastor at Church in the Mall, and we're glad for you and thankful for you. And so so a couple of questions that we have. This could go totally differently this time than last time. So what spiritual gifts do you have? Or if you don't want to brag on yourself, you can say, here's what people have told me about myself, and just tell us about what you think of spiritual gifts in regards to yourself.
I love the fact that as you were saying that, the people who do know me just started to smile and smirk. So I think they're going to call me out if I, you know, go off track. But I think for me, I definitely think that God pulls at me and moves through me in the gift of teaching, in the gift of leadership. And I'm not a very kind of charismatic leader. That's Kevin's job. Mine, I'm more the shepherd that's going to come on behind and pull people together and knit them together into community. Kevin's great at pulling people, like a great showman, pulls them in, and they're attracted to his winsome personality. And I'm just the one coming along beside going, okay, let's play together. Let's work together in this, because that is where I see God work in me, is in community, in groups. I used to share this. I said, I think my ministry is best in coffee shops, with conversation and drawing people out and discerning, which is one of those other gifts I think that I have, which sometimes will occasionally lead into weird prophetic statements that I end up eating later. I said this years ago in an email, probably 20 years ago, to my friend Kevin, saying, one day we're going to plant a church. And it was the most off-the-cuff statement, and yet God came through on it. So I would say those are some of my gifts that I see that God works through. I am one of those people you described earlier who prefers to be in the background more than the foreground, but I keep finding myself pushed into those areas, and I know that is the Spirit of God working through me, because that is not my first choice.
Well, you're the kind of person that knows how to get things done. Like, I don't know if you know this about Mariah, but this lady can get stuff done. And she'll be like, she sent an email at 11 o'clock at night. Like, what about this and what about this? And she's just, you have a high motor too. And she's got three little kids that, it's amazing. I don't know how you do all what you do.
Coffee,
yes. How did you discover the gifts that you've named here? Like, how did you get just thrown into the fire? And you're like, oh, wait, I'm actually pretty good at this. And tell us about that.
It's probably two ways that I get drawn in is people have invited me in. I was invited in through a message one day to step into ministry, and found myself soon serving in youth ministry. And I had a job as a fundraiser at the time. My father still shakes his head because he's like, you had great salary, you had great benefits. Why would you choose to go in this direction?
Yeah, why?
You know, your dad is always concerned with you having, you know, safety and security. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go to seminary because right now I love traveling the country as a fundraiser and I like my salary and all those things. I had this really cool Mini Cooper. It was Smurf blue. It was the best thing ever. But I had to give that up. And then I got a Honda Element. That's a box on wheels, or a juice box, as my husband called it. And so, but I found myself in that life, hungry to come home every weekend and sit on the floor and talk about Jesus with a bunch of smelly teenagers. And it was some of the best moments of my life. And that's what kind of invited me into discovering some of those gifts of mine. And the other place that often God throws me in the deep end is in crisis. In the last few years, I have discovered that I am really good in crisis. My husband may argue because he gets to see the flip side of me. He gets to see me at home, like pulling my hair out. But I find that I can navigate crisis very well. And I've discovered new gifts in that way of leadership and discernment with people and pulling that all together.
It's good. I'm curious as to, as you've worked with folks across three different congregations making Today happen and beyond, how have you seen the different giftings working and us coming into alignment with one heartbeat?
Yeah. It has just been a gift to kind of see people who have just shown up. And that is the most important thing. But I have seen people, one, just showing up and saying, use me, like put me to work wherever. And then my next question for them is like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. What can you do? What do you feel drawn to? And watching people step into that, you know, putting one of my dear friends, Cynthia, on, you're going to paint, you're going to touch up these trees because you're an artist and that is a gift of yours. Seeing others who are so attentive to what needs to happen. My friend Tom helping us the other day just load the dumpster correctly so that we could fit more, pardon my French, crap in. But he's like, no, Barrett, let's turn it this way. Trust me, I got this.
Is trash Tetris?
Yes. Is that what it was? He can play trash Tetris. If you did not know that was a spiritual gift, it is. But more importantly, I've just seen people step into places. My friend Mary will tell you she's not good for much, but she really is. She has spent more hours than I can count organizing things, getting things ready. I have seen so many of you just step up and be kind and gracious to one another. Let's figure this out. Let's figure out how we can make that children's space magical. I mean, it is truly magical to walk down that hallway, and I invite you to do that, just not right now, because if you do, I'm going to put you to work up there. Uh-huh. But even people stepping into children's ministry hearing them go, oh, I don't have to set this all up. I can just sit and be in relationship with children. Yes, I would be glad to do that. I think that's part of it. We always come in and we're like, I can't do all the things. And it's like, you're not supposed to do all the things. If you could do all the things, we wouldn't need anybody else. And yet we've heard from Dave this morning, these gifts are for the common good. It is for the good of the community. They're not for solo artists. Okay. There are no solo artists in the kingdom of God.
Right.
We are all called into this and we all have these amazing gifts. And when we discount our gifts, when we rule ourselves out, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that, you are robbing the kingdom of God of your very presence and your gifts. And we are always better together. Sorry.
No, that's great. You're preaching. It's good. Last question is this. As you think of the future of our three congregations come together, what's your vision for how our heartbeat starts to align together?
Yeah. I have seen this already start to percolate, and just even the questions and the demeanor of coming in here is, I think we all have a heart to see people here, not necessarily in this building, okay, in the community of God, in the kingdom of God, experiencing God. And I have this lovely heart to see this place become a hub that we launch people out of. We launch people, we discover those gifts, those passions, that heart you may have for this particular group, this particular place in the world, and to be able to support and resource you out in that way, to see the work that we can do together, that we can do with each other, but also maybe even collaboratively out there. As you said, it's you know, we as churches love to trash talk each other rather than come together. We see each other as competitors, not collaborators. And I would love to see us model that, you know, in this merger and beyond, of how can we work and play together for the kingdom of God? Because that is that common story that should be aligning our heartbeats together, not our own little silly preferences that will have no meaning on the other side of heaven. Okay. All this crap that we fight about ain't gonna mean diddly when we get there. So why don't we be about the things that have eternal value now?
Yeah. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Mariah. Yes. You'll get to know each of our pastors and leaders over the next few weeks as we kind of introduce ourselves and get to know each other and get to know you all and the heartbeats that you have for ministry and service. Let's close our time with a prayer, and the team's going to come up and lead one more song, and that will count as our dismissal. If you need to go, you can go during that time. But let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us the same spirit across three congregations, across the diverse backgrounds that we have, across the variety of experiences that we've had as just human beings. And yet we have commonality. We have a common narrative that we have, that which is that we're supposed to love God, which leads us to love others for the sake of the common good. May you continue to work in us and through us, and give us that spirit, give us that same heartbeat, that unify our heartbeat to become as one together in your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.